Another exciting episode of We Speak Dispatch. If we are speaking dispatch, we are talking to you. We are here with our regular cast of characters. We've got Doug hailing from us. Oh wow. I need to drink more coffee. Hold on.
Yeah, you
hailing from
should.
Tennessee. We've got Glenna here in sunny California. We've got Joe hey. McCarville in very, very chilly or warm Iowa, depending on when you're listening. And we have a special guest today, Chris Linehart from a cold place, regardless of the time of year. It's always cold there. I've been where Chris is. We'll let him introduce himself, but welcome to what could be a fantastic episode or could just be us talking for 20 minutes. It's exciting. We'll look forward to
never
it.
Never know.
Go ahead. Chris, let us know.
Thank you, everybody. You guys hear me okay? Yeah.
So
I hail from the Illinois, the area in Illinois, the Illinois-Wisconsin border, the right side, the Illinois side, about equal distance between Chicago and Milwaukee. Been in public safety for a long time, over 30 years. And I just laugh because
you're 30. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to think that, but my newest coworker was born 4 months after I started at Red Center.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. I've officially become the old guy, and I laugh because I used to give my old boss and my trainers grief because they got an order back or a force back in 1982. And I said, well, that's great, but I was in eighth grade then. Why does it matter? Come full circle. Really excited to be here today. My name is Chris Linehart. I'm the executive director of the Regional Emergency Dispatch Center, Fire EMS Dispatch Agency north of the city of Chicago. Dispatch for 14 agencies, about 52,000 runs a year. In addition to that, we are MABUS Division 3, which is the Mutual Aid Box Alarm System. We coordinate the 211, 311 extra alarm fires in our area. Because of that role, we are also the single point of contact for the statewide mutual aid plan. So when Illinois sent 300 firefighters and 100 fire apparatus to Hurricane Katrina, that all came through our office.
Wow.
When the Bulls won the championship, when the Hawks won, and we had a bunch of hockey fans wearing sweaters in July that were hydrating excessively, the suburban response to the city of Chicago, we coordinated that. That's the other thing we do. When the Cubs won the World Series and there were 5 million people in the city of Chicago, that suburban coordination came from our office. Most recently, what we call the 120 days of June, we had a chemical train accident incident down in southwestern Illinois. Then a week and a half later, we had the explosion at the plant in Rockton, Illinois. That went for 5 days with us coordinating a mutual aid task force to provide coverage in addition to resources to support the scene. And we had no sooner put that incident to bed, and then we had the Morris lithium ion battery fire, which learned that, you know, as a fireman, I was taught that, you know, fire needs oxygen, not a lithium ion battery.
Wow.
So we supported that effort. And that was all done through our office.
Amazing.
Yep. We're busy.
Do you guys do anything at all? I mean, really, it sounds kind of boring. That? You guys do anything at all? I mean, it sounds really boring.
No. Listen, I got to give a shout out to my good friend, Kevin Issel, who's the chief of Snowmass. Here, I'm going to plug it. They're called Roaring Fork Fire. You can't see it because I'm blurred. But he always says, yeah, dispatchers, you just sit around in smoking jackets and slippers all day long. I'm like,
Kevin, that's exactly what we do.
So I can't wait to send him this.
With all the stuff that you just talked about, how many people are actually in the center? Is it a fairly large agency?
So when we had the response to Hurricane Katrina, there were two people on duty.
Holy
initially.
Two dispatchers.
Right. I can't even tell you what year that was now. It's all kind of a blur. But we had two people, and then we activated our internal plan, and the chiefs came in. And what, you know, like Leslie the and like all the 14 yeah. Red Chiefs.
And they dispatched?
No, they became the incident management team for the incident. Actually, back then we weren't even 14. I think we were 8.
So still 2 dispatchers, but 8 chiefs. Yeah,
2 dispatchers. That's good. We sent the recall page out. And, you know, in my interview, I said, I felt like I was meant to be at Red Center because, like you all, I teach for Mabus. I taught for Nina with Leslie, remember Tennessee? Oh, my God, let's go run a 5K and then teach.
Yeah, so weird like that, isn't she?
Dumbest thing I've ever done.
Oh, and I was going to do that today, but never mind. I won't do it.
Yeah, skip it, Doug. It ain't worth it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I said I felt like I was meant to be here, and it's just from day one, I always hear and my heart breaks for people that they don't listen to us or I'm only a dispatcher. Mm. And there's this kind of, you know, relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't have, we've never had that. In fact, quite the opposite. I remember getting invited to a retirement party for a battalion chief. He's like, hey, I'm retiring. I want, you know, obviously everybody can't come, but you're all invited. I did 7 years of, you know, combined law enforcement dispatch. We were never invited. We were never included, let alone invited to something.
Yeah.
And that's really, you know, that culture has stayed. And now that I'm the executive director, I've been for going on 5 years. That's something that I really fight to make sure that we maintain, because there's been a huge transition on the other side of the radio. I sat down, I was talking to my deputy director who started just after I did. And I said, how many battalion chiefs have we gone through? We just picked one agency and we're like, forget it. We're officially old. But it's still that same relationship. And we talk about how we have a mutual admiration, respect, and appreciation for the job each side of the radio does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, everybody has bad days and everybody gets cranky on the radio. Can we swear on this or no?
No.
Yeah.
He wants to swear. We can bleep it out.
Well, you know, jokingly, my old boss was, his nickname was Tack, that asshole Clausen. And I was Tack One, that asshole Chris. Because every once in a while, you just, you know, it happens. That's the younger version. The grown-up version of me doesn't do that as much anymore.
So that means
maybe because it says executive director behind you.
We're going to do a PG rating now. So he said that.
I tried to say stuff. I sat the desk and my coworkers like, oh, you're going to sit the desk? Oh, do you remember how to do this?
Nice. Yeah.
And I was on the radio and one of the battalion chiefs came in and he looks around. And he goes, last time I heard that voice, I was on an ambulance. I just want to make sure somebody didn't invent time travel. I'm like, ha, ha, ha. I tried to say stuff on the radio, but nobody was going to fire me.
Yeah.
Well, how many people do you have at your agency? Like when you're fully staffed and you got enough, how many actual employees do you guys have?
So total employees are 26. We refer to the dispatch center as the circle because it's a pod. In the circle, we our staffing is 20. We were fully staffed up until mid-February when one of my coworkers, you know, everybody's like, well, they quit. I'm like, no, they didn't quit. They resigned because he took a job as a director at a center out in Western Illinois. So
That's a big difference between quitting and then resigning for a director position.
I am very, very fortunate. So our hierarchy or structure is I have 14 bosses. Those are the 14 agency chiefs. Yes, go ahead and do that office space. You have 14 bosses, Peter, but it's awesome. And most of my bosses were on the other end of the radio when I was working. And there's not a meeting or at least a couple times a year that we don't look at each other and go, can you believe we're here?
I know.
Wow. Like, really, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I have.
We look at each other and say that all the time.
Right. Exactly. Then what each town has a representative and they make up the board. I'm very fortunate. Our board is incredibly supportive. So is the chiefs and the board. And we've done a lot over the last 5 years and we invest in my coworkers. And, you know, when I started way back in 1997, at Red Public Safety in 1990. Go ahead, do the math for everybody watching.
That's a lot. 5 years, because that's when I started.
I think I was in high school at that time. I'm not sure.
For the fourth time.
Were you teaching about to retire?
I've been on the job for a little bit of time when he started.
Just a little.
Yeah, maybe like 5 years or so. Maybe six.
We were eight people.
Wow.
And now we're up to 26.
That's good.
And, you know, we have a training coordinator, quality assurance person, deputy director. We have supervisors. We run a four platoon system. There's a supervisor and kind of an homage to what we were based on, which is the main fire alarm office in the city. The acting supervisor is called the senior alarm operator. Mm-hmm. So we have a supervisor and a senior. The actor. Again, it's the fire side.
They play a dispatcher on TV.
Yeah.
Flapping. Yeah. Oh, please.
Yeah. It's Halle Berry. She shows up there all the time. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And it's, you know, I'm very, very, very fortunate to have an amazing group of people that I have the opportunity to work with and, you know, keep the lights on and make the payroll happen and to make sure the internet's up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
So as you're talking, Chris, and I, you know, I'm just thinking, okay, knowing dispatch and knowing where some of us come from, how do you maintain that or encourage that mutual respect or appreciation? Because it sounds like maybe you're an agency where it's not like the fire guys are coming in and hanging out in dispatch all the time, or, you know, how do you build that relationship when you're separated by inside outside work?
So that is an awesome question. And when there were only, again, when there were eight of us, it was different, and we would get invited to all the fire department picnics and all the stuff. So we were more present. As we've gotten larger and we've taken on more agencies, that doesn't happen as much. Mm-hmm. So we encourage the fire departments to send their personnel in. And one of our agencies sent a newly promoted deputy chief in, and he sat for 4 hours, and it wasn't busy. What we would call busy, it wasn't busy.
Right.
But we had a couple of incidents. And when he got back to the station, his deputy chief said, well, what did you learn? He's like, they finish each other's sentences. He goes, there was a dive incident, and they're like, I need, and they're like, got it. What about done? So-and-so's notified. He goes, what else? He goes, the more I talk on the radio, the more I'm going to screw things up in there.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Right. And the other thing we did is myself and the deputy director, we called it coffee table talks. So 14 agencies, three shifts each, what seemed like a simple thing took us almost 6 months to accomplish. Mm. But we would go to the firehouse and they're like, well, do you need the training room? I said, no, the calendar invite said it's a coffee table talk. Pour us a cup of coffee and you ask us questions. Because there's a lot of, you know, in the last 4 years, we put in a new CAD system, new phone system. We went to automated station alert. We're using AVL GPS. We're using EMD, EFD. There's something else we did that I'm forgetting right now. But it's all change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a great, you know, we call it the ROC, the Red Operations Committee, because it's the fire service. And if we don't have an acronym for what we do, we're not actually doing anything.
Exactly. And the FBI.
Right. Well, but it's just what it sounds like. We all get together and we vet a policy, and there's the common understanding that, you know, Leslie, this may not be a big deal to you, but Joe, this is something you want, or Doug, this impacts you more than the others. So we just kind of collectively agree, knowing that we're all going to give a little to get a little. And that the end of the day, it's about Red Center. And I keep using circles, the 14 agencies and the 26 people in the dispatch center. When we went out and talked to people, we said, you know, the 26 people that work in the communication center don't come up with these policies all by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Your bosses have a seat at the table, and collectively we do this. And it had gotten a little tense, and this was before COVID had hit, and then COVID, it was just starting to happen. And then afterwards, the demeanor, tone, and cadence on the radio, because the folks on the street didn't understand all that went on behind the scenes. They didn't understand the why things were happening, especially, you know, if you're using AVL and GPS for responses. Well, that's where I always went. I always went to 1234 Main Street. Yeah, but ambulance number two was 3 seconds closer. So they went this time. Right. And the light bulbs that went on, and you could hear the demeanor in the radio. There was, you know, yes and thank you, and them explaining, you know, hey, Red from engine so-and-so, I'm having a standoff with my MDC. Can you give me that address, please? Right? That's right. The communication, and that's, it's paid huge dividends, you know?
Right.
TC Week is coming up here, and our 14 agencies, they set up a schedule, and the chiefs come and bring food
on the day shift
and the night shift. Awesome. And they come hang out. I mean, we had one department where the chief and the deputy made dinner. They're like, do you got a stove? I'm like, we got a stove. We got a grill. We can clean up the smoker. And that's how we build that and maintain it. And I will always
fire department.
Yeah, huh? Typical fire department.
That's such a fire department.
Chris, hey, 5 points higher, you know.
Chris, one of the questions I got for you since you're on here, when you introduced yourself, you talked about Mavis. And when I was in Wisconsin, I got to hear what Mavis was for the first time. We don't use it in Iowa. Can you explain to our listeners what Mavis is and what exactly your role with that is?
So Mavis is the mutual aid box alarm system. So the whole idea is a response to an incident based on geography and need. So here I live, you know, in Antioch, Illinois. We're right on the border. If we have an incident and it overwhelms our local capabilities, we request a Mavis box, depending on if it's an area with water or an area without water, or we have a series of lakes. So if it's a scuba incident or an ice dive, and those resources are coordinated by a single communication center. And then the town builds out the box cards, and it's a systematic approach. And everybody gets so intimidated by it. I'm like, if I have success at it, it's going to be real easy. I'm just saying. And all you got to do is read left to right, top to bottom, and the town determines the need, and the dispatchers, basically, there's a little script, we set off the tones, and it's a way to streamline the response versus y'all come.
Yeah.
And
did you guys use Mavis, Doug, or Leslie, or Glenna? Did you guys use Mavis?
No.
We don't use Mavis, but I know we have something maybe similar in California, but I don't know what it is. We don't use it at Chino. City where I live, because I live in Central California, even though I work in Southern California. Don't ask. So I noticed, and I finally asked somebody, I noticed we had a lot of different ambulance companies. We only have one ambulance company in the city where I work or live. And then we ended up with like 4 or 5 different ones. And, you know, you're curious. You're like, okay, what happened? Somebody lose a contract. And they're mutual aid for our jurisdiction, for pretty much the entire city that I live in and the surrounding cities. And I started asking, well, is this like on a volunteer basis? Or like, do you have a contract? These guys looked at me. These EMTs and paramedics are like, lady, just go about your way. So I'm curious if to something similar. Do you know, Chris, if we have something similar in California?
So you guys have OES, those yellow fire trucks. And the state kind of gives them to people and says, if we call, you need to bring it. The last time I wrote a grant many years ago, we're the only ones that have this. This is day-to-day stuff. This isn't just for the big disasters. This is day-to-day stuff. And Joe, we're actually, we jokingly refer to the Mavis agreement as a franchise agreement, but we now have Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, hello. And actually, technically, Division 43 out in the Quad Cities, the other side of the river, the Bettendorf, whoever else is over there, they're part of Mavis Division 43. So it is technically in Iowa.
Okay.
It handles just the day-to-day stuff. And then the statewide plan that we coordinate, the former CEO, Chief Reardon, kind of had this vision pre 9/11 and said, listen, we need to be an all hazards approach. Started out, there were 25 Mavis divisions, and now we have 70 Mavis divisions. We're in all 102 counties of the state of Illinois, and it's one agreement. And what it basically says is, whatever fire department you're on, you sign the Mavis agreement. There's a lot of, you know, behind the scenes coverages and immunities and whatnot. And it says, you agree to come when we call. And if you call, I'll come. And you send out box cards. And if you can't make it, you just say, listen, today we can't make it. And, you know, the city of Chicago is its own Mavis division, and they've used suburban resources. The city of Milwaukee is its own Mavis division. They've used suburban resources. It really does work. Joe, we can talk offline. I'll get you signed up. We'll give you a couple coffee mugs.
We're going, Joe. I was just going to say, you got our email, wespeakdispatch@gmail.com. I know we're about wrapping this one up, but I'm going to have Jill send me your information, and you'll get an email from my work email. I work in Iowa, so look for that. My last name is McCarville, and I'm going to turn it over to Leslie or Doug or somebody to wrap this one up.
It's Leslie.
Yeah. I mean, can we just make this episodes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? I mean, awesome.
And we can keep going. We could talk to you, Chris, all day long.
Yeah.
Well, we are go ahead.
We're definitely going to have, we're going to have you back, because
yes,
we have just kind of scratched the surface of all this stuff. And I love that we've got representation from all forms of dispatch, big centers, small centers, police only, fire, EMS, all this stuff. It is super amazing. And so if anyone out there would like to do what Chris is doing and come and talk to us, let us know. Joe mentioned that email address. Come and join us. We will certainly look forward to talking with you. If you've got any questions or if you want to connect with Chris and learn a lot about more, send us an email. With that, Joe, you want to give us a rundown of all the places that you can hear us in case someone is unsure?
Absolutely. We're all
this
over.
This is where you go pee.
We are all over. We just joined TikTok, so look for some behind the scenes stuff. There was some great stuff going on this morning before we started. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, but we're on your favorite podcast platforms as well. So you can listen to us anywhere. We're in over 30 different countries, and we're near 11,000 plays with dispatchers listening to us. So as Doug says, if you're not listening to us, what the heck are you listening to? I stole Doug's line.
All right. Y'all have a great show. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Hey, this is Jill, and you've been listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, proudly sponsored by our friends at Zybex.